Welcome to this edition of Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets. In this weekly show, you'll catch two fund managers who'll share their views on a selection of listed companies both here and overseas. Hit the subscribe button on your podcast player to be notified of new episodes each week. And don't forget that all the views expressed are general in nature and you should seek your own advice before making any decisions of your own. That's all from me. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the latest edition of Buy, Hold, Sell.
Hello and welcome to Livewire's Buy, Hold, Sell. My name is Chris Conway. The gold price has soared more than 14% over the last 6 months and is now trading at all-time highs. But many gold stocks are yet to play catch-up. So today we're joined by two small resources specialists in Lowell Resources' John Forward and Acorn Capital's Rick Squire for their top picks and outlook on the small cap gold sector. John, I'll come to you first. Gold prices, all-time highs, as we said in the intro. Can prices stay at these levels? And where are we at in the cycle?
Look, it's a fascinating time, Chris. I saw a comment yesterday that analysts are dumbfounded by the gold price. I traditionally have looked at interest rates, particularly out of the US, and the outlook for interest rates as a real driver or inverse correlation to the gold price. But we're seeing inflation expectations rising, good data out of the US in terms of employment, etc., and that would normally feed through to higher for longer in terms of interest rates, which is, which should be bad for gold. But the fact that we're seeing gold rising to all-time highs in the face of that headwind is really, you can take it two ways. You think, oh, it's defying gravity, or you can say that's really good that it's rising even in the face of these headwinds. And I tend to be in the latter camp. We could see a double dip inflation like we did in what happened in the 1970s. For gold to be performing in that environment is really positive.
Rick, what about you? Anything to add there? What's your view on the cycle, and bullish or bearish?
Yeah, we're pretty positive on gold. Similar reasons to John. The dynamics are unusual for most people in terms of their knowledge or their experience in the market. So then what we then look at is, how do we see that in terms of the cycle for the gold stocks that are in there? And certainly the gold producers have been great performers in the last 6 months or so. And a few of the juniors have really struggled. But even in the last 3 or 4 weeks, we've seen a real change in the market where we've seen a couple of companies, juniors, that have done a raise, and their market cap is actually, and the share price has actually responded positively after that. So, a good one was Waratah recently raised some money, and the share price jumped 15 or 20% after that, and we haven't seen that for nearly 2 years. And then we've seen a couple of these small companies like Lafroy, really come off the floor. Now, having said that, they've come off the floor, but they're back to the prices they were in November. But on no particular news, there's been a sharp rebound. So I think we're into that part of the cycle where some of those juniors are really starting to re-rate and move. So now it's a matter of identifying the best opportunities and which ones are going to run the hardest in that rebound.
Rick, you sort of touched on it there, but I might dig a little bit deeper in terms of where you believe the next big opportunity is. It seems like it's in the juniors, as you were just saying.
Yeah, I think so. And that can be driven by two things. It can be driven by organic growth, which is, drilling and making a discovery. But also think that inorganic growth is the way. So through merger and acquisition, because investors are looking for the next Bellevue, the next big development project. And it's hard to see. There's De Grey's out there. It's a really big company. It's a long timeline. Predictive PDI is a great company, but it's been known about for a while in terms of where it's going to go from here. But what's the next one that's going to come in and fill that gap and get that rapid growth into that development slot? And one way to achieve that is to merge with another company. And I think there are actually too many gold juniors out there at the moment. If you merge two or three of them together and make something out of that, there'll be a really strong re-rating for the companies that can actually achieve that.
John, what about you? Do you take the same view, or is there a different take on where you think the next big opportunity is in gold?
We saw Newmont share price go up, you know, and they're the big boy in the room, up 6% the other day after the gold price, you know, hit another all-time high. So we are seeing a re-rate occurring in the big end of town.
Yep.
And Rick mentioned, you know, you're seeing perhaps patchy re-rating at the small end of town, but coming off an extremely low base. So I think for us, you know, we look for, you know, significant upside in the junior sector, mm-hmm. and I think that it's absolutely latent with it at the moment.
Yeah. John, I'll stay with you. Risks. What do investors need to be aware of when they're considering the gold opportunity?
Metallurgy is always a risk. You know, there's some great projects out there, you know, with lots of resources, but you know, some of them may be refractory. So you could have lots of ounces, you know, really good grade, but can you actually produce the gold? And you know, that can be a metallurgical challenge. Australian gold companies are exploring in pretty much every country in the world. Right. So you need to be wary of sovereign risks, and that cannot just be can be more than just nationalisation. It can be, okay, oh, you know, like Tanzania did 10 odd years ago, we're just going to put the royalty rate up to some eye-watering level, which makes all projects uneconomic. Yep. So, yeah, you just do need to be a bit wary of the jurisdiction.
Rick, what about you in terms of risks? Anything to add there?
Probably the only other one to add is just make sure they've got enough money to afford that exploration program, which right. might sound like a really simple one, but there are a lot of companies that have, you know, batten down the hatches, but they're not raising any money, but they're still spending it just to stay alive. That, you know, in that rebound, you know, if the market can see that the company is come issue, it doesn't matter how good their project is, everyone's going to stand off. Yeah. So, you know, just make sure they're reasonably well funded.
Rick, that's a nice segue for the next question. Stocks that might be a little bit overvalued. Again, this is another sector that's run really hard. All the share prices have been moving. What's one that you think is a little bit overcooked at the moment?
For us, it's probably Genesis at the moment. And while it's a, you know, great management team and the 3 to 5 year outlook is great, the next 12 or 18 months, you know, they're operating a mine which is, you know, it's a challenging asset. That they're mining at Gwalia, and while the longer term outlook is good, and for those that got a 3 year view, that's totally fine. But as an investor that might be taking a 12 month view, I think there are better opportunities over the next 12 months to be there, and then you can actually come back in. So in 12 months' time, I certainly won't be saying it, but for the moment, I can't see any reason to be there.
John, what about you? One that you think's a little bit overcooked at the moment?
Yeah, look, I think one that's done a fantastic job, but you know, does have a, you know, pretty reasonable valuation at the moment is probably Bellevue. Mm-hmm. Moving into commissioning and first production, while it might not have a lot of downside, we don't see it as having as much upside as perhaps you know, some of the other more leveraged plays that you could get.
Yeah. John, I'll stay with you. Let's talk stuff that you do like. Two names that you have been buying or looking at closely at the moment.
A couple of ASX listed companies. The first one is a company called Astral Resources, mm-hmm. which is very close to home, well, in the Western Australian, heart of the West Australian goldfields, which is a real tick. There's been quite a bit of M&A activity happening in WA goldfields over a period of time, and there definitely will be more. Yep. Astral are sitting on 1.3 million ounces. They've got a very large open pit development proposal there, and they've got a really sweet satellite project with some really nice high grades in there, which could add into the early days of that project.
Yep.
But also, they're within spitting distance of Goldfields St Ives plant, which, as I understand it, does need ore. They've got a couple of options in terms of development. So we really, really like that one with a sort of $40-odd million market cap. The other one, also ASX listed, but active over in Newfoundland, is a company called Matador, which we've been in for quite some time. I see it as having a really extensive strike extent of really well mineralized belt, shear zone called the Cape Ray Shear Zone, and it is a little bit reminiscent to me of a company that we did really well in a couple of years ago called De Grey up in the Pilbara, which had the Mallina Shear, had, you know, tens of kilometres of Mallina Shear, a few resources already defined on there, but some really good exploration potential. And that's what Matador offers. So while the share price has been really beaten up, you know, we think that they're plugging away, doing the right thing, methodically exploring. and they've got one of the Canada's better respected larger gold companies in B2 Gold as one of their more substantial shareholders, which is providing technical input. So yeah, that company gets a tick from us as well.
Great explanations, thanks John. Rick, we'll finish with you, two that you're really liking at the moment.
We really like Matador too. Yep. In fact, I went out and had a look, went out to site last September and had a look around. So for all the same reasons, I like that. But another one, recently got into was Awali. It's a TSX listed company. They just made it's really early days, it's one hole, but they made a really interesting discovery of what's called a iron oxide copper gold deposit, which, you know, you'll see things like Ernest Henry or the really big things like Olympic Dam, but you do get some gold rich systems and very similar to what you see in Brazil. But, you know, geologically, South America and West Africa were once joined, and it's the same belt that crosses into Côte d'Ivoire, and so they're seeing very similar style of a deposit. Now it's really early days, and you know that's my spicy one for the mix. And they only own what could be 20% of it, but if it grows, it could be something really exciting, a bit like Greatland Gold and their Havieron deposit. That 25% of something super exciting can still be really valuable.
Yep.
The other one is a little bit different. Is Predictive PDI, that you know, normally we don't worry too much about the M&A opportunity, but I think, you know, Predictive is, you know, where the value of the asset is, where value of the company is, and the quality of the asset. And you know, the recent announcement has shown the quality of the exploration potential that still remains there. That we think that's a great opportunity, and we're seeing the big, well cashed up producers are actually looking for companies. And while Guinea has got its challenges with a military junta in place, it, as perverse as it might sound, that, you know, the government seems to be doing a lot of that regime seems to be doing a lot of the right thing to, you know, protect and to keep the country going, unlike, you know, places like Mali and Burkina Faso, which is, you know, a stark contrast to how those countries have been run, that you know, they're continuing to go well. So I think if they can you know, get over their permitting issues, you know, get a line of sight on developing the project, you know, it's got great potential.
Great, again, great explanations. And I'd like to thank both of you for explaining them to me in a way that I would understand. If you enjoyed that gold special, make sure to give it a like, and don't forget to follow our YouTube channel because we're adding lots of great content every single week.
Thanks for listening to Buy, Hold, Sell, brought to you by Livewire Markets, Australia's number one source of expert investment analysis and insights. Register for free online at livewiremarkets.com and you'll discover more exclusive investing articles, videos, and podcasts.